Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. The lesson tonight is a series, and it's called The Attributes of a Healing Treatment. Last week, we did Establishing Your Oneness with the Father. This week will be establishing that you're in the atmosphere of the Kingdom of Heaven. With that, let's begin our service by singing hymn number 559. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Forever and ever. Amen. Hymn number 559. I'll read from the Bible, Matthew. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. And all the bridegrooms got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you." So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. 2 Chronicles. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Revelation. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, "Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth." And I went unto the angel and said unto him, "Give me the little book." And he said unto me, "Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you will live in the heavens. Rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the numbers representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's temple, tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. Let us be glad and rejoice. And let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And he added, "These are true words that come from God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, "No, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus." Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper as clear as crystal. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, For the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. 1 Chronicles. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Kingdom of Heaven, the reign of harmony in divine science, the realm of unerring, eternal, and omnipotent mind, the atmosphere of spirit, where soul is supreme. Heaven represents harmony, and divine science interprets the principle of heavenly harmony. The great miracle to human sense is divine love, and the grand necessity of existence is to gain the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven in man. The evidence of the physical senses often reverses the real science of being, and so creates a reign of discord, assigning seeming power to sin, sickness, and death. But the great facts of life, rightly understood, defeat this triad of errors, contradict their false witnesses, and reveal the kingdom of heaven, the actual reign of harmony on earth. The material senses, reversal of the science of soul, was practically exposed 1900 years ago by the demonstrations of Jesus. Yet the so-called senses still make mortal mind tributary to mortal body, and ordain certain sections of matter, such as brain and nerves, as the seats of pain and pleasure, from which matter reports to this so-called mind its status of happiness or misery. Heaven, harmony, the reign of spirit, government of divine principle, spirituality, bliss, the atmosphere of soul. To reach heaven, the harmony of being, we must understand the divine principle of being. God is love. More than this we cannot ask. Higher we cannot look. Farther we cannot go. The belief that spirit is finite, as well as infinite, has darkened all history. This belief tends to becloud our apprehension of the kingdom of heaven and of the reign of harmony in the science of being. We cannot deny that life is self-sustained, and we should never deny the everlasting harmony of soul, simply because to the mortal senses there is seeming discord. It is our ignorance of God, the divine principle, which produces apparent discord. And the right understanding of Him restores harmony. Truth will at length compel us all to exchange the pleasures and pains of sense for the joys of soul. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for sinful beliefs to enter the kingdom of heaven, eternal harmony. Through repentance, spiritual baptism, and regeneration, mortals must put off their material beliefs and false individuality. It is only a question of time when they shall all know me, God, from the least of them unto the greatest. Denial of the claims of matter is a great step towards the joys of spirit, towards human freedom, and the final triumph over the body. There is but one way to heaven, harmony, and Christ and divine science shows us this way. It is to know no other reality, to have no other consciousness of life than good, God, and his reflection, and to rise superior to the so-called pain and pleasure of the senses. When the final physical and moral effects of Christian science are fully apprehended, the conflict between truth and error, understanding and belief, science and material sense, foreshadowed by the prophets and inaugurated by Jesus, will cease, and spiritual harmony reign. The lightnings and thunderbolts of error may burst and flash till the cloud is cleared and the tumult dies away in the distance. Then the raindrops of divinity refresh the earth. The divine principle and idea constitute spiritual harmony, heaven and eternity. In the universe of truth, matter is unknown. No supposition of error enters there. Divine science, the word of God, sets to the darkness upon the face of error. God is all in all, and the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting him in countless spiritual forms. New Jerusalem. Divine science, the spiritual facts and harmony of the universe, the kingdom of heaven or reign of harmony. This sacred city, described in the Apocalypse 21:16, as one that lieth four square and cometh down from God out of heaven, represents the light and glory of divine science. The builder and maker of this new Jerusalem is God, as we read in the book of Hebrews. And it is a city which hath foundations. The description is metaphoric. Spiritual teaching must always be by symbols. Taken in its allegorical sense, the description of the city as four square has a profound meaning. The four sides of our city are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and divine science. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. This city is wholly spiritual, as its four sides indicate. As the psalmist saith, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. It is indeed a city of the spirit, fair, royal, and square. Northward, its gates open to the North Star, the Word, the polar magnet of Revelation. Eastward, to the star seen by the wise men of the Orient, who followed it to the manger of Jesus. Southward, to the genial tropics with the Southern Cross in the skies, the cross of Calvary, which binds human society into solemn union. Westward, to the grand realization of the golden shore of love and the peaceful sea of harmony. This heavenly city, lighted by the sun of righteousness, this new Jerusalem, this infinite all, which to us seems hidden in the midst of remoteness, reached St. John's vision while yet he tabernacled with mortals. In Revelation 21:22, further describing this holy city, the beloved disciple writes, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." There was no temple, that is, no material structure in which to worship God, for he must be worshiped in spirit and in love. The word temple also means body. The Revelator was familiar with Jesus' use of this word, as when Jesus spoke of his material body as the temple, to be temporarily rebuilt, John 2:21. What further indication need we of the real man's incorporeality than this, that John saw heaven and earth with no temple, body, therein. This kingdom of God is within you, is within reach of man's consciousness here, and the spiritual idea reveals it. In divine science, man possesses this recognition of harmony consciously in proportion to his understanding of God. As the mythology of pagan Rome has yielded to a more spiritual idea of deity, so will our material theories yield to spiritual ideas until the finite gives place to the infinite, sickness to health, sin to holiness, and God's kingdom comes in earth as it is in heaven. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let's sing our second hymn. That's 204. O Father, thy kingdom is come upon earth. Thou rulest in all thy creation. Thou sendest thy witnesses telling thy worth to call and entreat every nation with news of thy mighty salvation. Hymn number 204. Good evening again, and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line. We are so glad that you have joined us. I have no immediate announcements that need to be read this evening, so we're going to move right on into the testimony part of our service. Shirley has the microphone. If you feel more comfortable staying seated, please do so. But make sure you have the microphone nice and close to your mouth so that those on the call-in line can hear and those out in the audience can hear as well. So now it's your turn to share any testimonies, healings, remarks of insights that you might want to share. Please do so. Thank you. It's your turn.
Thank you very much for your readings from the desk. I got a lot out of that and a lot to reflect on, too. And I just wanted to express my gratitude to God and for Christian Science and Mrs. Eddy for founding this wonderful religion. I don't think there's a day goes by that I don't thank God for something. And I just want to share a couple of recent things I was just very grateful for. I have a son that will be going soon to a special residential place in Texas for Christian Science challenged adults. And I have a lot of joyous expectation. It's been unfolding for many months now. And also some anxieties I'm working through and learning to trust during this last week or so here. Last Friday, I had just seemed the right day to get Mark's haircut. That was necessary. It's usually kind of traumatic for him. It's actually the dentist isn't, but for some reason the haircut is. It was the day to do it. I had to kind of work it around my schedule and the staff's schedule and Mark's date program. So we had it worked out, and I went online and scheduled the appointment at Great Clips, the one by my house, and the staff came over, and we went from there. We've gone there many times, and this time when we got there, it was about 10 minutes earlier than his appointment was going to be, because when you schedule online, sometimes they're early or on time. I've never had it after that time, but I walked in, I left Mark in the car with the staff in his car, because he doesn't do good if he knows too much ahead what's going to happen there. So I went in and I saw his name on the screen. It was the third one down, and I was about 10 minutes early, so that made sense. And the lady came over to check me in, and she said it's going to be an hour and 40-minute wait. And I was like, I'd never had that happen before, and it caught me off guard. But I just thought, the first thought was just to ask her again. And I said, could you explain that? I just went online and it shows his appointment would be in 10 minutes and he's on the list right here. And she just said, she wasn't really rude, but she just said again, it'll be an hour and 40 minutes. And she walked back to her customer. And first I thought, do I say something else? And then I just thought, just be kind and know that God is in charge. It didn't seem like there was too many other times to work this out because of schedules involved. And here Mark was out in the car right there with the staff. But I just thought trust and that God's harmonious plan was in operation. And so I walked out, and the man that was on the ladder in there, there's a man in a ladder up in there fixing lights, and he followed me out, and he said, I'm the husband of the manager of this Great Clips. He said, I think she was kind of rude to you. And I said, well, it's okay. I'm just trying to figure out what to do now, though. And he said, and then he just once again said, I think she could have explained that. It kind of didn't make sense, and he started to write down the manager's phone number, his wife, but then he right away, I said, well, maybe we'll just drive over to the one in Broad Ripple and hope that they have an opening right away. We were running short on time with the day program. And he said, I'll call for you. So he called, and got it worked out. I heard him say on the phone, you know, this individual has special needs. He really can't wait. And so I thought that was really cool. It was just really surprised me. I was just thinking as I left, I just needed to let go and let God's plan, even if it had to be rescheduled another time. And so we drove over about 8-9 minutes to Broad Ripple. They took us right away. And the really cool thing was, usually, sounds kind of strange, but I'm used to it. But usually, Timmy, when Mark gets in the seat, the staff has to put his hands in a hold behind his back, and I have to sit on Mark. And I say encouraging words, and the lady always does it really quick. We try to just do it fast. Sometimes he's even on the floor, and they finish it. They're real nice. But this time, there wasn't the struggle. And the staff and I both realized that after a minute or two, and so he lets go, and I stand up, and it was just wonderful. And I was just very grateful for that. And then the next day, another kind of small thing also, but I was planning a little going away gathering, kind of small, for Mark on Sunday with some special friends that he's known a long time, some from his church and some from Fifth Church, a couple from here, and just a couple other special people. And so I had gone to Dollar Tree and ordered balloons a couple days before. I just thought of the one staff. He's got three little kids, and I always send balloons with him every couple of months. So I got a couple few for him and my grandchildren. And Mark likes to look at balloons. So I think I had 7 balloons I paid for. And then the manager, he talked to me a minute. He asked what they were for. And all I said was a little going away party for my son. He's going to a special residential place in Texas. And I don't think I said too much more. But it was very interesting. And then and I paid for those 7 balloons and the weights. And then I was scheduled to pick them up on Friday night. And Friday afternoon, I thought, I think I'll call and see if they're ready. I just want to get this errand done before my daughter comes in town. And before I could do that, that manager called me and said, your balloons are ready to pick up. So I go over there, and I walk in, and I go up to the register, and I see, like, you know, about 15 balloons all there. And I went up, and he said, these are yours. I just thought I wanted to add some more to make it a really nice party and for your son. And I thought, whoa. It was just kind of a sign that, you know, everything's falling in place, and God is in charge. Let go. Let the anxieties away, too. And then one other thing, Sunday morning, my daughter and I and her 2 kids went to Mark's church. She had never been there before, and since it was, almost his last time. But and Mark and his staff met us there, and it was really sweet, as it always is. And then we were getting ready to leave. We usually leave after an hour, and the 3 pastors called us up front. So it was Mark and his staff and myself and my daughter and the 2 grandchildren. And, I don't know exactly the Bible verse he was referring to, but there's, I think it was in Acts, and there's something about a healing napkin or something, and they oiled it or something, but, and then had them hold it and Mark hold it. But the neat thing was what he said. He said to the congregation, Mark is moving on to Texas. So he's got something real special there. And he said, everything is bigger and better in Texas, even the healings, too. And he said, and he was saying, Mark's going to have more healings here, and referred to his salvation. And it was just really sweet. I was, like, crying. and then the one pastor and his wife came to my home, too, in the afternoon, and another special lady I had invited from that church and her husband that had always been really special to Mark. And I was just very, very grateful. And I'm so grateful to God, and I love Christian Science. And thanks again for your readings.
Thank you.
I'd like to... I'm very grateful for the recent testimony that was just given, and it's kind of ironic because it fits so well into it. Some remarks that I was thinking about in the last few days, And that is that sometimes, as I find, as a Christian Scientist, that if your day or something happens in your day that's something that is bothersome, painful, or irritating, it's something that comes off as somewhat negative, that you can sometimes have this feeling of, you know, I try to do the best I can. I try to be a good person. I'm a Christian Scientist, and I know that life is eternal and God is love, and I have all these wonderful positive thoughts. And then sometimes I will say to myself, so why did the coffee drop this morning? Why did this happen? It's one of those days that I seem to be crashing around. And you kind of, you know, within you think, why has this happened to me, you know? And then I realized, just driving to work the other day, I thought, you know, those are the times if I really look at those times, so many of them kind of progress into something of a lesson that I learned that day. And it's kind of like when we say, if you don't have a valley, you don't know what a mountain is. You don't. And it's the same thing. If we went along and never had those kinds of days, and they can be really serious for us, and they can be just irritating, but whatever it is, so many times I find that I learn something from them. And that's because of Christian Science helps me to get through that person who maybe, you know, was irritating. Just as the former testimony, it would have been very easy to come back at that person and to maintain negative thoughts. But because of Christian Science and what Mary Baker Eddy has taught us, so many of those times are our best lessons. And we learn, I learn something from them that I take into another day, another time of something happening. And I just think it's so interesting as I listened to this prior testimony that what appeared to be something that would be really upsetting for Mark, particularly, and Mark has obviously, as you were saying, Mark has had problems with having a haircut in the past. But if it hadn't happened that the first appointment was late, then, you know, such a good experience wouldn't have happened down the road. And, you know, for some reason, that happened. But I just realized that a lot of times when I get frustrated with the kind of day that doesn't seem to be what I want, or I get up in the morning and maybe not, you know, feel like I really have the energy to go to work, or I'm, you know, got a pain here or a pain there, but I know how to deal with it. And I learn from every one of those days and times. And I'm just very grateful that Christian Science is always there, and I'm not as upset anymore when things maybe don't go the right way, because I know it's just another good lesson to learn. Thank you.
Thank you. All these good lessons tonight. I'm so glad I'm here to hear this. On your lesson when you were reading about the thunderbolts, that kind of gave me a little cue to remember something. Last week, I had gone to bed and gone to sleep. And all of a sudden, I heard this thundering, and then it went bam! And something popped, and I jumped straight up out of bed, and I was like, okay, what was that? And the power was off in my house, that I could tell, because the clock radio was black, and so I was trying to find out if any lights were on, so I was walking around downstairs and flipping on lights, and the lights were on downstairs, and I thought, well, that's interesting. Why would all the lights be off upstairs? So I went back upstairs, and the lights did work upstairs. It was just my clock radio that took the hit. But then I started to smell something burning. So I thought, should I call my friends? Should I ask them to come over at 1 o'clock in the morning? I thought it was a right idea, so I did. And God love them, they're so sweet. I called and of course I woke them up, but they said, we'll be right there. And so they came over and her husband looked all around and was checking everything. And I said, well, I still smell something in the bedroom. And we just figured out that the clock radio took the hit and that was, it probably melted stuff inside. Everything else was fine. It was no problem. And then they went home and I was just so grateful for their loving support. And then a few days later, I got in bed, went to bed, and I started to hear some rumblings again. And I'm like, I had that little shot of fear go through my thought. And I thought, you know, I need to think of something in Christian Science. I'm just going to lay here. And right away, the thought that came was, for storm or shine, pure peace is thine. And I was like, oh my gosh, that came. It was such a healing thought. It came out of just instantaneously it came. And then I thought, all is well. And I put my head down on the pillow and it sounded like the storm was rumbling but going away and I went to sleep. So I just wanted to give thanks for having that healing that night and for the love of friends and God's caring love that all was well. And just very grateful. Thank you for your readings tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was so excited to come back and hear the continuing series about the framework, well, not the framework for treatment. That was what I took my notes on during class instruction, but your series on giving a treatment. And it reminded me of the weeks that I did take class instruction out in California. And I was so young, I don't think I really knew at all what I was doing, but I was earnest. And I remember the assignment of giving ourselves a treatment. So I painstakingly wrote. And then we would turn that into the teacher and her notes. I was so disappointed because when I got it back, her notes said, expand your inspiration, dear. And I thought I was doing antibiotics. This is about as much as I've got right now. No. But since then, of course, I have made this my own. And I think at the time I probably was taking class because my dear cousin, who is one of my best friends, had taken class the year before from the same teacher. And then my mother was kind of encouraging me to go ahead as I was finishing college and ready to venture out into, you know, my working career. And another thing, which I have never really expressed gratitude for, was that I did get a job out of college. And before I started, I told them I needed to go to out of town because I was taking a class that was, you know, I don't know if I said a religious class, but anyway, they were fine with that and they had no problem. So I've always been kind of grateful for that too. But I have one more gratitude to share with you. And I love it that this is online on the phone line because many times I haven't been able to make it. And I've listened to you on there, and I can't tell you how great it is just to settle in and listen to the Wednesday night service and hear all of you guys who now I see in person who stand up and give testimonies. And I just am so, so, so grateful for all of this, and I'm so grateful for my mother who dragged us all to church all the time, and on Wednesday nights, I would go with her and tag along even through high school. And it was just, it was a labor of love. And I don't know what I'd do without it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your readings. And thank you for the service. I'm always just happy to be here and just always feel the healing that's occurring while I'm here. And, I had a
particular inspiration that I just wanted to share of gratitude, and then I thought of a healing. But when Loli was referring to the balloons, I just had this overwhelming sense of that's how great God cares for his children. He doesn't even just double what we've asked for. He goes beyond that. He doesn't give us 7. He gives us 15. You know, and I just, that sense of love and care, that's really how God loves us. And I just, that meant a lot to me. Thank you. And that's how he cares for, you know, yeah, for your whole family. You know, I just, it just really touched me. And it reminded me then we were the talking of, you know, doing class instruction, that when I went to, my class instruction was in New York City and I'd never been there and I'm going to spend 2 weeks far away. And I had a baby that was like 5 months old that I like left with my parents. Kind of a crazy time, but I was like, if I don't do this now, it's never going to happen. And so, it was an interesting experience, but I got there with a great challenge besides being completely freaked out that I'm in New York City and alone. I was, well, have the belief of being deathly allergic to death. And so, turns out the apartment of the woman that was offering her couch to me was shared with a cat. And so that was something that I shared with my teacher right away. And, you know, that whole 2 weeks, I was completely free. I slept on the couch during the night, and the cat was sleeping there all day long. And although I seemed to still, you know, forget about that belief and experience something else, I don't want to forget the truth of what I did experience, which was God's complete care and protection and love for me, as I continue to move forward, to re-acknowledge that. But just the talk of association and doing class and all these things coming up, I'm just wanted to be super grateful for that and remembering that today. And I'm grateful I'm going to be going to a different, our teacher had passed, but I'm going to do a different association this year. So I'm going to bring my mother with me back to an association. She hasn't been to one in years since her teacher had been gone for a long time. So I'm super grateful to bring her back into that idea of, you know, going back to our treatments and reminded of what they are. So thank you.
Thank you. That was a fast half hour. Let's complete our service by singing hymn number 557. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come. 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 I was quoting the second verse. Sorry. I didn't announce that.
Our Father, Mother, your will.
Father in heaven, your kingdom come. My mother in heaven, your kingdom come. My mother in heaven, your kingdom come. My mother in heaven, your kingdom come. Yours is the power and glory, God. 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 Yours is the power and glory, God.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Sciatus Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898, 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.